Before I get started, and just as a reminder that when we talk about supporting our other congregants that are doing the sermons, I just want to let you know next week is the sermon is going to be given by Emma Poole, one of our youth. Emma is a wonderful writer and an excellent speaker. So hope you all can be here to hear her sermon and make sure that you tell your family and friends. Bring them all in. The sermon I wrote this morning is inspired by an article I read by William Peel and Walt Lattimore titled Five Keys to Spiritual Influence at Work. Now, an influencer is a person who has the ability and capacity to have an effect on character, development, or behavior of someone or something, or the effect itself. Influencers are known in many different genres. There are cultural, social, economic, political, religious, and spiritual influencers. Spiritual influence focuses on the hearts and minds and changing people from within. It sways their thoughts and their values, their perceptions, and their attitudes. And as a result, influence also has the power to change behavior. We may be tempted to assume that influence comes from a place of position. And true, some careers or economic status provide more opportunities for influence. But any person can be influential. One guide to being spiritually influential is found in following the five essential keys. Spiritual influence requires competence. Excellence and competence does not imply we are better than everyone else. It does mean, however, that we are serious about doing our best. In Galatians, Paul reminds us the best of humans slip up. The word Paul uses, paraptoma, does not mean an intentional sin, but rather a slip like on an icy road or a dangerous path. The danger of those who are really trying to live the Christian life is that they often apt to judge the sins of others harshly. Paul says that if a person does slip up, the real Christian duty is to get them on their feet again. The word Paul uses for this correction is the same word used for making a repair, like that of a surgeon as he removes or she removes a growth or sets a broken bone. Who would want an incompetent person to perform such a task? So this is a fundamental principle. If we want people to pay attention to our faith, we must first pay attention to our own competency. In our faith, are we trying our best? Spiritual influence requires character. Competency is just a part of the equation. It's not enough to be knowledgeable and have all the hymns and all the verses memorized. We can all think of a brilliant, competent man or woman whose character flaws diminished their influence. Authentic Christian character consistently impresses people. It engages people because God designed men and women to admire the character trait God possesses. When we exhibit peace and love and joy, we reflect Jesus' character, which produces a profound impact and influence. Spiritual influence requires consideration. Nothing speaks more about your character than how you treat people. As the saying goes, people don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. Caring is true life in community. bearing each other's burdens, knowing that I am as vulnerable to temptation as my neighbor, and every bit as dependent on God's grace. Paul calls us not to compare ourselves to others or ignore another's burden, but rather engage in self-examination, always considering what God has done for us in Christ. When people witness Christian competence, character, and consideration, the things we say have power or are equal or greater to any sermon from the pulpit. Spiritual influence requires wise communication. In the Gospel of Luke, Christ gives us a lesson in how to communicate and spread the news that the kingdom of God has come near to you. I have met many people that tell me they are uncomfortable talking about their faith. Many believe their actions can speak for themselves. The problem with that, Paul tells us, is that we are human and people slip up. Therefore, we must be ready to give an answer for anyone that asks the reason for the hope that we have. And when we are ready, we are to be like the 70 Jesus sent to harvest the people. The task of harvesting is not an in-your-face effort, nor do you have to tiptoe around it. You just need to be wise. Christ's first direction is to start with prayer for the workers. Prayer reminds us that at the heart of this work is God. They were not to be cluttered with things, but to travel lightly. So often the baggage we bring along gets in the way. They were being sent by the Lord in faith so they could be confident the Lord would provide. And they were focused on the task. They were to bring peace and accept peace where it was offered. There was a gentleness to their mission, and God's grace went with them. And where their work was accepted, they gave abundantly. And where it was not, they moved on. If we approached our own sharing of the gospel with prayer, gentleness, and concern, we can see that it becomes natural to talk about our faith as we build relationships with another person in our family, communities, and our work. It is appropriate to share your faith when it naturally fits into the topic of conversation. It is always appropriate to share your faith when you are asked about it. Remember, though, this is not an invitation to dump all your spiritual knowledge on a person in one sitting. The disciples gave enough information to open the door for Christ. We can open the door of curiosity for future discussion. But it is also realistic to not presume that people will respond positively. Spiritual influence requires courage. Following Jesus is anything but a safe undertaking. You will meet opportunities and obstacles that will challenge you to the end of your faith. Remember that true safety is following Jesus wherever he leads. Playing it safe is the most dangerous thing you can do if Jesus is leading you out of your comfort zone. A close walk with God is always an antidote for any fear you may feel. Just as Jesus prepared the disciple for rejection, so too we should be prepared. Paul knew this very well and kept in contact with the churches to encourage and build them up. Now, as I mentioned earlier, I am a seminary student, and when I have an opportunity, I always like to say thank you to this church for its really wonderful moral and financial support and educational support. And last semester, in my New Testament class, one of the assignments was to write a letter as if I were Paul. I kind of snickered at that one. That seemed like an odd idea. But as if I were Paul, writing to my home church in Rocky River. And when I started reading the scripture, I was really amazed, and you know, my letter came quickly to my memory at how I thought it really tied in. So with your grace, I would love to be able to read the letter that Paul wrote to the saints of Rocky River Presbyterian Church. From Paul, called not by human appeal, but by the will of God, and set apart as an apostle for the gospel of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and Kathy, our sister, a servant of our Lord. To the beloved saints of the church in Rocky River, Ohio, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Though I will not be able to visit the church in Rocky River, I have heard wonderful news about the church family and the life in Christ you have embraced. I give thanks to my God for your faithfulness to the gospel and your passion to live by the Spirit. You have discerned as God's will and written it on your hearts this purpose: praise God, teaching faith, serving others. I pray you intimately know this call as led by the Holy Spirit and strengthened by your relationship in Christ. This is especially important because you are a church of influencers. You are abounding in spiritual gifts. I encourage you to let the Spirit work through you to achieve your purpose. It is the mission of your church to offer an inclusive place to worship the Lord, share the truth of the gospel, and show the unconditional love that God, by his grace, so lavishly gives to you and me. This practice has no place for stinginess, judgment, or self-righteousness. These are the sins of the flesh to which we are no longer bound. For you who are in Christ, the law of the Spirit is life and sets you free from the law of sin and death. Kathy has reported that your faith and love of the gospel keeps you standing firm against those that are indifferent and hostile to your beliefs. It is with the Holy Spirit's guidance and the spiritual act of worship you seek not to conform yourselves to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In this way, you find courage and inspiration and show God's steadfast love. Continue to build each other up, encouraging each other to put to good use the gifts of the Spirit and to practical use the variety of human talents that are needed for everyday life. Demonstrate to each other and to those outside the church that the family of God honors everyone. Do not let anyone fall into sin by considering themselves better or privileged. This will lead to pride, which can corrupt the church community. God created diversity, and our diversity is lifted as a glorious part of God's creation. Most importantly, remember that all comes from one Spirit. No one gift, talent, or person is above another, but we are all members of one body, the body of Christ. The attitude of acceptance, love, and inclusion should be extended outside of the church community and into the world around you. Living by the Spirit produces the fruits of love, kindness, peace, generosity, patience, joy, and faithfulness. We know that these teachings and the words of the Spirit seem like nonsense to an unbeliever, but our actions, as demonstrated through the fruits of the Spirit, have lasting impact and influence. We know we are called to freedom by the Spirit, but this should not be used as an excuse to be self-indulgent. Rather, through love, we become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in this commandment: you shall love God first and love your neighbors as yourself. Each of us should love our neighbor for the good purpose of building them up. God will give you the dedication and encouragement to live in harmony with one another. I encourage you to bless and not curse. Do not seek revenge or repay evil with evil, for we must allow God's wrath to be the final word for those who do evil in this world. We that have already died in sin with Christ believe that we shall be raised from the dead with him. We know that Christ died, was buried, was raised, and appeared to the apostles and more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time. Through Jesus, those who have died and those who are alive will be transformed into heavenly bodies, bearing the image of the man of heaven, Christ. These things are mysteries to us now, but when Christ returns, all things mysterious will be made known. Therefore, be unwavering in your love of God and faith in Christ. Do everything as for the Lord, devoting yourself to prayer and to encouragement of each other in the Spirit. Be committed to living in Christ. I send our sister Kathy to work with you in your mission. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love and mercy of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.